All right, thank you for that introduction. So like you said, today's presentation will be about crown moisture thresholds of tall fescue survival in drought conditions. So drought is becoming an ever-increasing problem throughout the United States. As we can see in California, there is exceptional drought throughout much of the state, and even through the Southwest and even Texas and even other parts of the United States, drought is very imminent. With all this drought, a lot of restrictions are being placed forth to help conserve some of these water, to help conserve water in some of these areas that are not as receiving as much rainfall. But unfortunately, a lot of restrictions are being guided, like where I'm from, Lincoln, Nebraska, where water is only allowed to be irrigated 3 times per day. So homeowners are really being forced to evaluate how much water is necessary for their lawns, when should they be applying it, what kind of turf species is there. But these restrictions and these legislations aren't really guided by much. So what we're really trying to do with a lot of this research is get out in front of these legislations and restrictions and help guide homeowners and legislators how to properly water their lawns in drought conditions. So tall fescue, a popular cool season lawn in Lincoln, Nebraska, cool season and much into the transition zone, is a popular home lawn because it has a documented drought avoidance. It has a deep root system which allows it to access water deep within the soil's profile, but there's little information known as to the drought tolerance of this turf species. We know that Kentucky bluegrass has a strong dormancy response to water-limiting environments and can sustain adequate crown moisture to recover, resume growth once adequate moisture is received. But this information is much less limited on tall fescue. So really what we're trying to do is figure out how much water we actually need to keep tall fescue alive. So some of the things we set out to do for our goals for this experiment is we want to investigate the crown moisture content and survival and determine the relationship between each other. And this study was conducted in the greenhouse. We also wanted to evaluate crown moisture through various irrigation rates during simulated drought in the field and determine how much water is necessary to keep tall fescue alive during drought conditions. Like I said, we're not trying to keep this lawn green, we're just trying to keep it alive. So the first study that we conducted, we did in the greenhouse, and we were trying to measure this relationship between crown moisture and survival. In doing this, we wanted to evaluate the LCM50. Some of you might not be familiar with the LCM50, but you may be more familiar with the term LT50 or LD50, and that's the lethal dose or lethal temperature at which 50% of the plants survive that treatment. So what we're looking for is the lethal crown moisture at which 50% of the plants die as 50% of the plants die as a result of that crown moisture. So this was a completely randomized design. We did this in 2 runs, 8 replications per run, and was conducted on spider tall fescue. And two things we measured during this experiment were crown moisture content, which we measured in grams water per grams fresh weight of tissue, and survival, which was analyzed by the number of plants alive in a plug over the number total of plants in the plug times 100. So we went out in the field, we cut sod to a depth of 5 centimeters deep. We took all the plugs, put them in the greenhouse, potted them, watered them, and gave them a 24-hour acclimation period. And all these plugs were subjected to various days of drought, which wasn't the treatment, but crown moisture was a treatment. And on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we recorded the crown moisture of a tray of plugs. And with that, we also took survival ratings in which we rewatered those plugs from various days of drought to correspond what survival corresponded to which crown moisture. We defined the crown by removing the stem tissue and the root tissue and isolating the crowns. The picture of the right is an example of a crown. We could harvest anywhere from 40 to 120 crowns per turf grass plant. Getting into some of the results, this is these data were not, there was no interaction between the two runs, so we pulled the data together, and on the y-axis we have our survival, and on the x-axis we have our crown moisture content, again in grams water per grams fresh tissue. And from 50 to 80%, we can see that turf survival is very high, but when we get to the low contents of crown moisture from 0 to 30 grams per gram, we can see that turf survival is very low, and it seems to be about 0.050 grams per gram that the turf survival really starts to drop. And with this, we were able to get our LCM50 value, which was 0.034 grams per gram. This is an image of just a few of the plugs that we were looking at for crown moisture and survival. This is by no means our complete data, but this is just a small sampling of what it kind of looked like. And as we can see, from 0.7 grams per gram, we had a very high survival rating, but when we go half the value almost, 0.0307 grams per gram, we have half of the turf survival. And even a little lower than that, 0.0232 grams per gram, we have an even lower turf survival along with that. So the results from this study is we were able to get this LCM50 value, which 50% of the plants survived, and it was 0.0345 grams of water per grams fresh tissue, and we saw a very rapid decline in crown moisture after 0.05 grams per gram. So we really knocked out that first research goal, and we were able to use this information and go to the field where we wanted to evaluate the crown moisture through various irrigation techniques during drought in the field, and again, the ultimate goal, determine how much water is actually necessary to keep tall fescue alive during these conditions. So in the field, this study was conducted as a randomized complete block design with four replications, and our treatments, we had a positive and negative control, we had 0 millimeters, and we also had 100% potential ET replacement. And we also had a varying degree of replacements where we applied 6.4 millimeters, 12.7, 19.1, and 25.4 millimeters per week. And we split these applications into three split applications over the course of the week because, one, we wanted to most accurately represent a restriction that we're currently being that are currently being put forth, like in Lincoln, where we're only allowed to irrigate three times per week. And we also wanted to most directly affect crown moisture. We didn't want to wet the soil profile. We wanted to just keep the crown moisture high because that's where the plant is able to regrow from. And this study was conducted starting in the 1st of July and ran for 7 weeks where we received 7 inches of rainfall in, I think, 2 days, so the plots got flooded, which limited the length of the study. So this graph is the cumulative irrigation that we applied to these plots over 7 weeks. On the y-axis, we have total irrigation applied in millimeters, and on the x-axis, we have irrigation treatments. So when we applied 25.4 millimeters per week over the course of 7 weeks, we essentially applied 86.2% of the total ET that was lost, which 86% is pretty close to the 80% recommendation that cool season lawns are recommended to be irrigated at. And as we can see, 60%, 32%, 21%, so kind of nice numbers to keep in mind going forward to reference as to how much we applied. So on this graph shows the crown moisture contents on the y-axis and weeks on the x-axis that we were able to record through the length of this experiment. The red line represents the non-irrigated control, and the 100% potential ET replacement is the black line. And we're able to use this LCM50 value, which we got from the first study. And as we can see, it didn't take long for the differences to be observed between the two. But with this, in a non-irrigated control over the course of 7 weeks, we never did reach that lethal crown moisture 50 value. And also, I'd like to point out that at week 7 is when we receive that rainfall, so we use that opportunity to determine how long it would take for these turf grass plants to recover to the same crown moisture at which we started at. The next treatment that I just added was 25.4 millimeters per week, or 86% replacement of the total ET that was experienced during that course of 7 weeks, which is, again, a very common practice recommendation for irrigating cool season lawns. But this never really did separate from the 100% potential ET replacement. So by reducing the amount of water that's being applied, we were still able to maintain adequate crown moisture. Again, with the 19.4, we're seeing the same trend where we're applying 64% of the ET that was lost, but the crown moisture is still never significantly separated from the positive control where we replaced 100% of the potential ET. With the 12.7 millimeters per week, which we applied, we did start to see some separation from the positive control, but it's still more than the non-irrigated control. And lastly, with the 6.4 millimeters per week, it kind of followed more of the trend line of the non-irrigated control, but it did delay the response of the decline of crown moisture. So some of the things that we got from this we were able to take away from this study is that the lethal crown moisture 50 never, after 7 weeks, never reached that critical value. And even 65% ET replacement over the course of 7 weeks in a simulated drought maintained the same crown moisture as the positive control of 100% ET replacement. So lesser ET replacements didn't sustain crown moisture, but it did delay it. So that could buy us more time where we're able to receive some of these rainfalls, hopefully. We saw that smaller portions of ET replacement might be all that's necessary to maintain adequate crown moisture until drought subsides, and we were able to recover 100% of crown moisture content with rewatering in 3 weeks. So some of the conclusions from our study, we determined that our LCM50 value was 0.0345 grams water per grams fresh tissue, and we saw that small amounts of irrigation delayed the decline of crown moisture compared to the control. And we also saw that tall fescue did not need additional water to remain above the LCM50 value during our experiment. We would expect that crown moistures would continue to go further, and it's all very dependent on ET, but during our study we did not really need additional water. So some of the things that we want to do further in our next steps are, this was conducted only 1 year, so we need another year of field data to validate what we already did. I would like to personally investigate more turf species and look at their lethal crown moisture 50 levels and see how they relate to tall fescue. And a lot of my research is in desiccation, and I would like to see if the same small quantities of water being reapplied is enough to raise crown moisture contents back to acceptable levels where we don't have widespread desiccation like we had throughout the Midwest last year. These are some people I'd like to thank in helping me with this study, and at this point I'm willing to answer any questions. I did not see, I didn't recognize that.
That's straight up.
All right. Good question. In the back.
If you were at the fully migrated crown, and you estimate how many inches of ET it would take to reach that people crown migration level?
Can you say that again?
If you start with the fully migrated crown, how many inches of ET would it take to reach that crown migration?
The question was, if you started with a fully hydrated crown, could you predict how many inches of ET would it take to reach that critical value? With this data, we probably could. I would believe that we could estimate how long it would take, but we never reached that value. So, how quickly that will decline is, I don't feel comfortable like extrapolating much on past what we saw. But that's a very good question.
Thank our speaker.